Okay. Good evening. We're working in Hebrews chapter 3, and just about through at chapter 3, but we still got some things to cover on chapter 3. And, you know, we've got so much going on about this church, and it just comes down to a simple little fact. It's up to God. It's up to God if we have a church, and so we'll assemble ourselves, study the Word of God, until God says no. So that's what we're going to do. Now, do we have any thing to say in our prayers today? Anybody have anything? Now, Kit, you got something for your sister-in-law.
Yeah, Joanna. In English would be Joanna, but if you really want to do the Greek, Joanna. So she needs a prayer. The doctors are trying to assemble a team to operate on her for her aneurysm, but so she survives till she gets to the surgery, and then in the surgery that the doctors can do a good job, and in all of this that she understands it's all grace from God. Whatever.
Okay, and your sister?
She's pretty much recovered from her surgeries, doing well. Dealing, God knows what she needs in her life. Lots of things going on. One of the most important things, she'd like to sell her business.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She's been wanting to do that for a while, but she couldn't do it during COVID. The value went down. So she got a new chief chef and gave him instructions to increase having trouble keeping up with business as it is, so she's going to have to hire some new people. But again, that's a hard to find. You got open job requirements and nobody to fill them.
So we'll continue being in prayer. Any other prayer? Okay, let's get ready for our study in the Word of God. Had a wonderful chapter of Hebrews, so let's continue in our prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love your Word. We're so appreciative of the Holy Spirit to teach us, lead us through the study of the understanding of the Word. So, Father, we pray that today, tonight, we come through things that you would like to see, for us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay. Now, last week, we closed with the last several parts of a point in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. And we're dealing with the departure of believers from Jesus Christ, from the plan of God. So we're looking at depart from being with Jesus Christ. And so I'm just going to quickly go through those points, and then we'll go out to where we left it off last week. One, there are certain biblical descriptions, such believers. Now, for an example, fallen from grace, failing from grace, uncircumcised, the torture of the soul, and so forth. So we've gone through those two things. Now, point two, a believer who starts off properly in the Christian life by taking the Word of God and going through it, all these fall into backslidden or reversionism. So that's where we were last week in that regard. Point three, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, verses 10, 9, 7 through 12, proclaim to warn all believers. So there we studied a warning of believers. And there, if you remember in that study, 1 Corinthians 10 said, nor these things go on. So we went through all of that. Point four. illustrations of groups that failed from grace. The Exodus generation, which is a main study in Ephesians, in Hebrews. Secondly, the generation of Jeremiah 42 through 44. And then three, church age believers are illustrated by such things as 1 Corinthians, fall of 10 and 11, and Laodicea. Great study is the Laodicea. Then point five, believers in Hebrews chapter 11, 11 through 15 describe how an entire generation eventually becomes backslidden or reversionistic. Then point six, Christian believers not only disintegrate the churches, but the nation. And then now we're at point seven. Point seven is where we had to leave off last week, point six. So let's look at point seven. Now, here in America, our country, becoming psychosis, P-S-Y-C-H-O-S-I-S, simply stated, it is when people lose some contact with reality. Believers can reach a point, they just lose contact with reality, with thought, with emotion, are so impaired that contact is lost with reality. They lose reality. This is presented in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 through 19. A perfect illustration is James chapter 1, verse 8. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's taking a look at it now. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, today, there is a battle, including Christians, as to one's gender and transgender is. Today at schools, TV, and social life can be most confusing because the twisting of the thinking of people is developed. Thinking of who or what is psychopathic is so changing today. It's no longer a problem, a sick. What they are. Neurotic or psychotic is also greatly changed today. People are no longer psychotic. Abnormal considered today. Abnormal is considered as normal today. To the point that males could have children is, that's it. So that's where we are today. Children. Can they be had? Children by male children. And God is no longer God. As God, He no longer is the creator of male and female. That's all over with now. And Christians are dealing with this. Many people have lost common sense. That's where they are. Now, point eight. Point eight, there are categories of mental backsliders in the plan of God. Monetary is one of those, as James chapter 5, 1 through 6, Revelation 3, 14 through 21. The phallic backslider, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 2, verse 21, and verses 12 through 21, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19, Ephesians 5, verse 5, Colossians 3, verse 5. And then point 3 is subpoint 3, ritual or legalistic drifting off course, as in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 and following. Four, drug addiction, tortured souls. 5, mental attitude drifting off of grace, with jealousy, hatred, bitterness. And 6, this also must be added as a reversionism of one's Christian life, mental illness. Today, most people do not refer to this as an illness, just they're having deals they're working with. Now, let's look at point 9. These driftings from God, from Christ, these driftings are recovered is impossible apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. To drift off from the plan of God, the Word of God, is impossible apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit and constant intake of the Word of God, work of the Holy Spirit, and leaving off the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. If you'll turn to it, let's take a look. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Hebrews 6, 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to be coming to this one a lot in the study of Ephesians, Hebrews. Hebrews 6, 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about the Christ. Now, can you imagine that? This author is saying, look, we ought to be able to so well be oriented to Christ. Let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Let's let go. Let's go on from that. Verse 2, of illustrations about washings and laying on of hands, and about the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. All of this should be so common to everything, everybody. And this we will do if God permits. If God permits. Now, John chapter 16, verse 13, these things cannot leave recovery so long as one continues to practice the things that makes you negative to God's leading. Many people are not able to overcome these things if they continue in being religious and negative. Okay, that's this chapter, or this work. Now, let's go to our study today. Chapter 3, Hebrews, let's open the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. We made it up with verse 12 last week. But encourage one another. Encourage one another. Day after day, as long as it is still called today. So that. Encourage one another so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we know, for we have become partakers of Christ if, now this is important, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked him. talking about the generation in Genesis. Now, first, there is encouragement, should be encouragement between believers. Encouragement. But encouragement one a day, one another, day after day. This means, day after day, this means to encourage one another constantly. The little phrase, day in and day out, that we just read, day after day, that means constantly. Now, I thought it was interesting, so I made it part of our study. Dr. Perryman says that, quote, "Perhaps no command in the entire New Testament is as ignorant and ignored as this one. Perhaps no command in the New Testament is as ignored as this one, encouraging one another." This is what believers here in Spring Valley Bible Church must do in respect to one another. In daily life, we all need encouragement. There are all kinds of needs for encouragement. Marriage, health, finance, spiritual growth, on and on and on. We all have different problems. Next is the reason for the encouragement. Let's take a look at it. "So that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Have encouragement so that no one will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It is from this that we have that sin began in deceit. The beginning of sin from Eve in Genesis chapter 3, 13. If you want to look at it, Genesis 3, 13. "Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" The serpent deceived me, and I ate. You quickly learn two powerful things just from that verse. One, that sin is deceitful. Sin is deceitful. Secondly, the serpent, Satan. The serpent is a master in using the deceitfulness of sin in our lives. She was deceived before she sinned. She, then in the New Testament, we learn that Satan is still using deceitfulness to lead so many against Jesus Christ. Let's open the Word of God to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 3. "But I am afraid that..." Okay, now here's what he's afraid of. "As the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, his skill, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." How powerful. When the world is led to be deceived against Jesus Christ, Satan will be the leading in it against Jesus Christ. Look at Revelation 12. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. Verse 11. Revelation 12, verse 20, Revelation 12, verse 9. "And the great dragon. So there he is back. Different words. We saw him as a serpent. Here's the dragon. The great dragon was drawn down, was thrown down. The serpent of old. So he's the dragon and the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan. So we've just had a lot of words thrown together about the devil, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Who deceives the whole world. It is the work of Satan that leads so many believers against being with the Lord. There are so many different passages to warn believers against the deceitfulness of Satan. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, very quickly. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Let no one deceive you with empty words. People, if you're a parent and you've got young people in your home that you're rearing, these are the kinds of things they have to learn and should learn from you. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Just turn backwards a little bit. Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. Over and over and over through the Word of God. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Now, John Owen, great concern, who is awakened us to sins, deceitfulness in its abuse of the gospel grace. The gospel grace, that's what he calls it. He points out the plan of Satan to cause you to be saved saved by good works instead of by grace. Look at John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That's how we are going to be realized. So, in Hebrews, believers should serve one another to fight against deception and encouragement one another to press on in learning the Word of God. Being deceived is to cause one to believe what is not true. To be deceived is when a person is brought into believing what is not true. And to be dishonest and misled is in what one says. This becomes the great problem, deception. Being deceived is the cause one to believe what is not true and to be dishonest and mislead those into the truth. The last thing we will see about deceitfulness of sin is what we have studied in Jeremiah 17. Let's take a look. Jeremiah 17. I'm sorry, we got a lot of words, but I just love it. I love sitting in my office and just going through this, going through this, that, and deciding whether or not what we're going to look at, what we're not going to look at. So we're looking at Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is more deceitful than all else. We've said that before. We've dealt with that one before. So, if you understand this and believe it, this means that that our heart is an obstacle to be overcome, and evil enemy to deception, to being and defeated against the Lord. Now, this is why Proverbs 4:21, I'll just read it. Proverbs 4:21 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence." Watch over your heart with all diligence. Please teach your children that all the time. As you study Hebrews 3, as well as the whole book, there are things that we should know about Satan and his deception. He omits the truth. He denies the truth. He changes the truth. He omits the truth, denies the truth, changes the truth. What is so important is knowing about the hardening of the heart is how to stand against the hardening of the heart. How can we stand against the hardening of the heart? Hebrews chapter 3 verse 8, "Do not harden your heart." This is constantly fighting against the hardening of the heart. Now, how do we do that? Let me give you three things. One, prayer. Prayer. Two, relationship with God all day, every day. Three, be constantly aware of the harm of the hardening of your heart. Prayer, relationship with God, be constantly aware of the harm of hardening of the heart. Now, as I do it now, I look at that second one, relationship with God. You might want to put in there the work of the Holy Spirit. That's how we're going to do it. Work of the Holy Spirit. Now, look at Psalm 19. Let's open the Word of God to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Now, let's go back to our study. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Hebrews 3:13, "But encourage one another day after day." I just couldn't, you know, I talked to some other people, their pastors, and they're through chapter 13 very quick. I can't just go through it quicker. I'm sorry. That's the way I'm trained. It's the way I study. So let's take a look under this, but encourage one another day after day to, let's take a look, one day at a time. One day at a time. One, point one. As a believer grows in God's Word, regards every day as unto the Lord, he regards every day alike. As a believer grows in the Word of God, regards every day as unto the Lord, he regards every day alike. Every day alike. Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 14. You might want to turn to this one. Romans 14. Verse 5. "One person values one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day, observes it for the Lord. And he who eats does so for the Lord. For he gives thanks to God and he who eats not, for the Lord does not eat, and he gives thanks to God. Point two, one day at a time. Only the believer has the grace provision daily to redeem the time. Only the believer has the grace provision daily to redeem the time. You can read sometime Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 18. Grace provision, or the capital of Bible doctrine in the soul. The capital of Bible doctrine in the soul for the purpose, for the purchase of time. That's why I called it a capital to be bought. And the thing to capital that it buys is time. It's called greater grace. Greater grace. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 6. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God the Holy Spirit provides the basis for greater grace through his gracious teaching to those who are quiet and listen to the Lord in the study of the Word of God. John chapter 14, verse 26. John 16, 12 through 14. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. Repeat verses, okay. John 14, verse 26. John 14, 26. John 16, 12 through 14. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. You should know all of those verses anyway. Now, what they refer to. Point three. Every day. Well, John 14, what is that? That's the Lord coming through with the disciples just the night before he's going to be crucified the next morning. And so he goes through and he talks about things like the Holy Spirit. And then chapter 16, he talks to them about the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, what's that? It's the great chapter about the Holy Spirit. So now let's look at point three. Every day we live as a believer in this life is a gracious gift from God. Every day. We live as a believer in this life, is a gracious gift from God. Time is God's gift to us. Time is God's gift to us. The only time we possess to honor God is the time we spend in the Holy Spirit. The only time we spend possessed to honor God is a time we spend in the Holy Spirit. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. A heart of wisdom. Also read James chapter 4, 13 through 15. Now, wisdom is in the part of knowing that every day must be regarded as from the Lord. When you wake up in the morning, this is the day that the Lord has made. we will be glad and rejoice in it. It's that simple. All right, point four. The fact, we're still under the one day at a time, the fact that the believer lives another day on the earth is a sign of divine grace and faithfulness. God's faithfulness. God's grace, God's faithfulness. Lamentations 3:22 and 23. Let's take a look at it. We haven't been a long time since we've looked at Lamentations, so let's look at Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3:22 and 23. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Here's one of the verses you should put to memory. That is Lamentations 3:22 and 23. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Okay, now let's go to point five. Point five. God has provided capital. I don't know why I got in that mind in this one, but capital money. God has provided capital for your soul in the form of Bible doctrine. Just a minute. Excuse me. God has provided capital for your soul in the form of Bible doctrine to make each day count for his glory. You put that money, that capital, into him for that day. James chapter 1, verse 21, the soul for capital is Bible doctrine in the soul of every believer. Therefore, it is important of acquiring doctrine on a constant basis. With that in mind, open your Bibles to Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I found your word and I ate it. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, point six. Every day is a special day in your life in the plan of God. Every day is a special day in your life in the plan of God. Now, point seven. Point six is very simple, but very powerful. Now, point seven. Every day in your life, you must avoid mental attitude sins. Every day, you must avoid mental attitude sins. This is true in regards to watching over arrogance. watching over arrogance. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring through. Now, Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews 3, verse 14 now. We've done verse 13, now let's look at verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Now, this is difficult. Most people just pass on by it, but I'm not going to do that. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast. So, how do you do the if? Now, how do you hold fast on the beginning of our assurance firm until the end? Now, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, we are told to hold fast our confidence. And now, in 3:14, we are to hold fast our assurance of salvation. We're to hold fast the assurance of our salvation. The passage now points out not just that we are partners with Christ, that's the beginning of the verse, for we have become partakers of Christ in our salvation, but we are also to enjoy happiness. We're to be enjoying joy in being in fellowship with Christ. In other words, in 3:6, something is added to us if we hold fast. And in 3:14, something is added if we hold fast. So the great issue is holding fast. The point is that we can lose. You got it? We can lose something. That's why it's over and over. Hold fast, hold fast. If you don't hold fast, you can lose it. We can lose things if we cannot hold fast. We will not lose salvation. We'll not lose salvation. But there are things we can lose in our lives. Now, the question is, how do we hold fast? How do we hold fast? Look at Hebrews chapter 6 again. Now look at verse 4. Not verses 1 through 3, but verse 4. Have been partakers of the Holy Spirit. It is so important in the church age to be partakers through the Holy Spirit. Not just indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but partakers with the Holy Spirit. That is to live by faith in the Holy Spirit. That is to live by faith in the Holy Spirit. So let us take a look at it. I couldn't just pass it up. To me, it's too important. One, the effectiveness of our partnership with Christ depends on our continual living in the Holy Spirit. Now, remember what we were looking at. It says in verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast. So, what I'm doing here is the effectiveness of our partnership with Christ depends on our continual living in the Holy Spirit by faith. Point two. While the believer is appointed a priest at the cross, he does not function effectively as a priest and a partner with Christ apart from the Spirit-filled life. So, this verse is very simple, but it's so, so difficult to bring into reality. So let's go through that again. This verse, for we have become partakers of Christ if. You want to do it, so it's got to be an if. We hold fast. So, we got to hold fast, living by the word of, by the Holy Spirit. Point two, while the believer is appointed a priest at the cross, he does not function effectively as a priest and a partner with Jesus Christ apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit and pressing on to maturity. Christ is the high priest. We are a kingdom of priests. When this passage talks about partnership, what is that? About partnership. It is talking about our partnership in the Holy Spirit. Point three. Also, teaching in this passage is that our reversionism destroys our partnership. Our reversionism destroys our partnership. Hebrews chapter 3. Functioning with Christ and not living by the Holy Spirit. People, it is so important that we live in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Not many talk about it, but that's the only way you're going to be able to actually be a partner, to a partaker of Jesus Christ. Now, point four. The all-important, if we hold fast, if we hold fast, indicates that the believer's attitude toward the Word of God, walking in the Holy Spirit, determines your status. Whether you are a working partnership of Christ or a hardening of the heart and being in the deceitfulness of sin. If you go into reversionism, you are still a priest and still a partner of Christ, but you will never fulfill the function of your partnership. What a tragedy to die and not have gained it. Point five. In Christ, as you live as a partner of Christ, you will recognize Christ as the center of your life. As you make Christ the center, as you make Christ the partner of your life, you will recognize Christ as the center of your life and continue to love Him all the more. To love Him all the more. And not leave your love as they did in Ephesus. You have left your love of Jesus Christ. You don't want to do that. Ever. Point six. By way of contrast, the believer in reversionism will have a total breakdown of the faith rest life. Total breakdown in the faith rest life. Just like the Exodus generation, which is talked about in Hebrews 3. Point seven. The believer in reversionism will also end up just like the Exodus generation. What do I mean? Outside the land under the sin unto death. That's what you're in the church age. In the church age, we don't go into the land, but we go into the sin unto death. Remember, they died in the death, in the desert, which for you and for me is to die the sin unto death. Dear believer, you do not want to die in the desert. You want to be one of in unity with Christ. Now, point eight. Also, for the church age is a reminder of the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ, where you will be judged by Jesus Christ according to your life in the filling of the Holy Spirit. You can read this if you wish, or turn to it, but 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That is, whether in the Holy Spirit or not. Recompense may, means may receive. This will be also dealt with in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Hebrews 10, 36. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. That's talking about 2 Corinthians 5:10, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, while you're there, look at Hebrews 11. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 35. Hebrews 11, 35. And all things, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God has provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Now, that which is received is promised from God. Every believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and have his life looked at it and judged by Jesus Christ, whether or not you are filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a matter of what you do. It's a matter of the power that you do it. Now, finally, point nine. Point nine, the Exodus generation were kept out of the land of Canaan because of their reversionism, because of the hardening of their hearts. The believers in the church age is kept out from blessing at the judgment seat of Christ, or is open to it. Life is very simple. All you have to do is stick with the Word of God in the working of the Holy Spirit. That's simple. That's all you have to do. No matter what may become, no matter what happens in your life, you and I must be doing one thing, simply walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. You must stay in the Holy Spirit by faith and press onward to the maturity of the Word of God. Now, encouragement. Let's go back to our passage. Encouragement to hold on. Encouragement to hold on. Look at verse 15. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15 now. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do you harden your heart as when they provoked him? There was already being ten clauses. There are ten X's clauses. 3:6. If we hold fast. Verse 14. If we hold fast, see, if we hold fast our confidence is, if we hold fast our confidence, hold on to it. Now, we come to a new if clause. So look at it in Hebrews chapter 3, we've moved to verse 15. If we hear His voice, crossing God at the verse 8, they provoked Him with their hardened heart. When they provoked Him with their hardened heart. Verse 10, He angered Him. And verse 11, He swore in His wrath. While it is said today. Now, this is an adverb that connotes a continuous day, pertaining to every day. This refers to the fact that a believer lives one day at a time. If you hear His voice. Here is the challenge every person who believes in Jesus Christ. Hearing the voice of God. First is the hearing of the teaching of the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. Again, chapter 6, verse 1, teaching about Christ. Many believers simply listen and hear to simplicity. You have to listen to advance teaching in the Word of God. We are living in a time when most believers do not want to sit and listen to the teaching of the Word of God. They want to play. They want to read. They want to sing. They want to just get up and dance. All kinds of stuff. Not many are happy with just sitting and listening to the Word of God. Listening to the teaching of the Word of God. Nothing before have we needed believers sitting and listening as we need to them today. Do not harden your hearts as when they provoked Him. Okay, we're almost through, so let's look at it. Do not harden your heart as when they provoked Him. God is provoked when believers harden their hearts. Let's note this. One, the heart refers to your soul, where you sit and listen and teach and think of the teaching of the Word of God. Two, the objective of God in our listening in the Word of God is for the Holy Spirit, for the believers, to know and to understand the Word of God. Three, the next movement of the Holy Spirit is acting in our lives to glorify the Lord and love toward Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit's to do. One, you sit there and listen to the Word of God, then you glorify Christ and learn to love Jesus Christ more and more. Four, the hardness of the heart hinders all this, which hinders you from confidence in Christ and to give assurance to every believer who listens to the teaching of the Word of God. The hardness of the heart is a description of the believer who became reversionistic. And point five, son, verse five, such a hardening of the heart is seen in the loss of love toward Jesus Christ and the loss of glorifying Christ. While it is said, today, if you hear His heart, hear His voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked Me. Question. How do you cause to harden his heart? How do you cause to harden his heart? So we'll have to cover it here next week. So we'll just be here and begin at this point next week. Any question? Okay, let's go to the Word of God. Wow! Father, we just love you. We love listening to the Word of God. We love listening to the Word of God. And then to love Jesus Christ. To love Him. To hear His Word. To love Him. And to tell others we love Him. To tell others to love Him. Father, I pray Your Spirit will take the things we've seen. Use these things to the honor and glory of Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for Christ's glory. Amen.